This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple, and I'm here with Alan Cobb. Our co-host Donna Colby is out of town. We have another member of our art community here, Robert Horlein, Bob, we call him. And we've got several things we're working on at once here. You helped organize the art auction that's going on right now at Icon through the Art Walk November 6th. The final bidding day is November 7th. What do we have to say about the art auction? Maybe we don't have a lot to say, except for we always did a mask auction. And this year I was thinking we weren't going to have enough masks, so I asked Bob to maybe line up some artists to bring some work in. And I've never done an art auction before for Icon, and artists have always said, we'd love to give you some work to auction off to raise some money for Icon. And so I finally had Bob bring in some pieces, and we've already got quite a few bids. As it turned out, we ended up with 88 masks because people, you know, came in those last couple of weeks and really enjoyed making masks again this year. We've got some fantastic masks that we're auctioning off. What artists have we got over there now in the art auction?
Well, I was happy that of the artists I asked, 100% of them said yes. And the reason everybody wanted to do this is because we all know what a great thing Icon has been for us personally and for Fairfield. And I think it's a very important part of this community that we have a sort of a showcase of the artwork of this community, and to compare it and maybe even contrast it with artwork of the region and sometimes out of the region. It's an important part of the dialogue of developing the art community of Fairfield. And Bill Teeple, sitting here, who's been who brought this whole thing about, needs the support of the community. And the art auction and the mask auction is another fundraiser to help support Icon Gallery. A number of people have told me over the months and years that they're amazed at what Icon does on such a tiny budget. These are people that knew how tiny the budget really is. And again, this is because Bill Teeple works tirelessly and gets some volunteer help. And what he needs and what Icon needs is to increase the budget a little, we can increase what we do a lot. And so I'm seeing a variety of fundraising possibilities, one of which is this auction. The main one, perhaps, is, and I think it's important on several levels, is becoming a member of Icon Gallery. There are hundreds of members, thousands of members.
Hundreds.
Well, we should have thousands. And that it doesn't cost very much to become a member, and it helps a lot, and it'll enable future growth of everything Icon does. So artists were glad to contribute work to the auction, and many of the artists that have shown in Icon over the years, mostly from Fairfield and at least three or four or five outside of Fairfield, have pieces in this auction. The quality of the work is really interesting. There were quite a few bids on quite a few pieces, which were really good, and we'd like to see more bids. And, you know, owning an original piece of work it's an investment in the community. It's an investment in your own, in what surrounds you in your living space or your working space. And it's an important thing to have things around you that are interesting, challenging, and make you feel good. And that, hopefully, is what works of art will do for you. So we encourage everybody to come at the next art walk and then the day after the art walk and bid again and see if there's something there that you love. And if you do, buy it. And that's a way of supporting the whole situation.
And this brings up another point that I've been bringing out more recently, and that's the form of self-expression and the art form itself of collecting art. We had a recent members event at Saul Waxman's collection out at Barclay Group, and it was quite a successful event. But I think that what really blew people's minds was the idea that you as a business person or even a homeowner could put contemporary art, art by local artists, art, handmade works of art in your home, and it could have a, it could be a kind of personal statement of your inner life. Saul just was quite inspiring in what it's, how it's been such a delight for him and good for his business too. It establishes a higher level of appreciation for his business just to have fine art on the walls.
Yeah, instead of you know, motel art that's you know, in frames that are screwed to the walls, he made a strong point about how it says that the company has some disposable income and is successful. And it says that the company has a sensibility for things that a lot of other companies might not care about. It's not just a room with people working, but it's a place that somebody cares about. And that suggests to new people that he's hiring or new people that he's doing business with that he's a person who cares about things and pays attention to details and has a sense of aesthetics. And those are all qualities that, you know, are associated with other things in business that people care about, that are important for being successful.
So the next subject that Bob is associated with is the Large Works Show, which is opening in December. We put it back a year, a month, and that's what allowed us to extend the art auction and the mask auction another into the next art walk, but I'm putting together some large pieces. The Large Work Show began a few years back as a complement to the Small Work Show, which was a tradition here in Fairfield that had gone on for 7 or 8 years. This year, it's in hiatus. It's not actually happening, but we are left with our planned Large Work Show, and I'm bringing in artists from Des Moines. I'm working with two galleries in Des Moines to bring in some large pieces. I'm working with some people up in Iowa City, some artists in Iowa City, and it looks like it'll be another really fun event. And Bob is going to show some of his new work, which will lead us into the third subject of today, which is Bob's show in Santa Fe, a very significant gallery in Santa Fe Bob is showing at. I guess I've said enough. I think I've said enough about the Large Work Show. Let's move on to your new work and the direction it's taking and what's involved with putting on a show out of a significant art gallery in another part of the country.
Well, I've been, this particular gallery, I've been talking to them for a couple of years, and at first they were interested in a little bit in me and my work, but at first they said several times that my work wasn't, it didn't fit with what they were doing. They didn't, it just wasn't really happening for them. And then they said, well, it does kind of, we kind of like it, and maybe we'll put it in a group show. And then they said, we will put it in a group show. And then surprisingly, they invited me to have a one-person show. So it was a long campaign, actually, and interesting in that during that time, they moved to the biggest gallery space in Santa Fe in the new district, the Rail Yard District, where all the galleries have built these glass and steel-type galleries, quite unlike the Canyon Road District, which is where they all used to be. Now we have big spaces down there. We have Site Santa Fe, which is a significant museum-type space, probably one of the most avant-garde spaces of its type in the whole world. And right in that area now is where all the galleries are. So this is their second year in that space, and I'm going to be the first show of the 2010 season. What should I say about what it takes to do this?
Well, we were talking a little bit about... you were starting to talk before we went on the air about the roller coaster ride of preparing for such a show. Mental roller coaster ride.
Well,
we can share a little of that with the audience. They might want to become an artist, and they might not after hearing this kind of roller coaster ride.
Well, you know, it's fun to think about doing artwork, and it's fun to start it, and it's even fun to kind of like start it and then think about starting some more. What's actually difficult is finishing it and doing it on time. And, you know, deadlines drive you to both the best and the worst of things. And I've had a couple of really hard times because this deadline was pretty quick, and I had other work that took a lot of the space between when I first found out about this show and the couple of months that I have left to do it now. So I felt like I've been pushed really hard to get this done in a hurry. The good part of that is it's driven me to a few things that I never would have even thought about otherwise, just because you go in there every day and you have to do something. And so I always say that I go in there thinking green and I pick up a tube of red paint and do that. And the thing is, this is sometimes good because sometimes red was the thing that you didn't know. Other times you totally destroy what you're doing, and then it puts you in even a more difficult spot because you don't have time. And so I think this, I've been talking to other artists and a filmmaker about this recently, and I think it's the truth in any kind of artwork is that there is never time. You always, if you had more time, you could do more, you could do better. Well, if I just had time, I could do something better. Well, I don't think the world really works that way. At least it never has for me. So I feel like what I really have to do is clear out whatever is the obstructions and actually go after this and make it happen. And so I was telling Bill that last week I already had my freak out moment of where I was going to call off the whole thing. And then the thing that made a difference was that the reason I was going to call it off was because everything was working badly. Nothing was working. And I was convinced that I was not going to be able to do this. And then I woke up at 2:00 in the morning and I just went out to the studio and I thought, if I can just get one thing to work. So I'm working on 4 or 5 different things at once. They're all over the place. So I just decided there was one thing. And so I just worked on it, and I ended up putting cup after cup of paint on this thing until I ended up with this big tar-like thing. And it's hard to explain why that was good, because it doesn't sound so good. But it was following a certain kind of logic or illogic to a certain end, which I'd never quite gotten there before. And I still have this thing now, and I don't know if I like it. I don't even know if it's particularly good, but it's so real that it's sort of self-evident. It's kind of beyond liking or not liking. And that level of reality of that particular piece of a painting made me feel good enough that I felt like, all right, I can do this. I just have to do it. So that was my turning point. And now I'm all locked in with publicity stuff and everything, so there's no turning back now. If I totally blow this whole thing, then that's the way it's going to be. So,
but it sounds like in the midst of all the pressure, you found your way back to what it's really all about. And that's sort of what drives an artist. Is if you get off of that, you do feel like you're flailing around.
And I feel like the problems that I've had with my painting, there's certain problems that I keep coming up against again and again and again. And they're always the same thing, funnily enough. And I always have the same problem. And I always have the inability to solve it completely, in quotes. I sort of solve it a little. And so this whole deadline drove me to those problems immediately. And they were right there in my face again. And I feel like, again, it's hard to explain why, but by getting this one night of stuff to actually conclude the way it did, I feel like I made some progress. And we never, I don't think as artists, I think we're always trying to do something that we never quite accomplish. And I'm willing to not totally accomplish it. I just want to make progress towards it.
Right, and I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, can you describe that point that you always come to at all, any further, that problem that you run into? Is it, would you say it's a personal problem, or, I mean, a personal problem to solve that you find, or is it sort of the dilemma that all artists seem to find themselves in?
Well, my personal flavor of it, it probably is everybody's dilemma, but my personal flavor of it's real specific, and that is that if you're dealing with abstract, sort of organic imagery, how does that become real enough that it doesn't look like, how does it become real enough that it carries real emotional feeling directly rather than becomes a description of some emotional feeling indirectly? Well, what I'm trying to say is that the reason certain parts of my painting seem to work is because they become very real, not because they look like a depiction of something real. And it's a hard thing to find. To me, abstract painting is not interesting if it's just a bunch of painting about moving paint around or about it has to be about other things. It has to carry meaning and qualities. Any abstract painting or any painting of any type is highly, highly layered and impacted with meaning of many, many different kinds. And it just has to somehow get through that mass and feel right, or else it doesn't feel right. And a lot of my things that I do don't feel right because they're not direct. If I can get through the indirectness to the sort of the real issue and then let the paint be that, then it seems that it's a different quality. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, as an artist, it definitely does. The audience might be wondering, what's he talking about? But I think everybody can relate to it in their own lives and where things get real and where things are like what we might call a little phony, like we're mm-hmm. putting an act on. And it really has to do with being truthful with yourself. It hardly really matters in the end what anyone else thinks. It's like you in the studio alone. Is it this thing you're describing is getting real or being direct? You're going to feel it. You're going to feel like all the layers of meaning of every form of its references and all of these things comes together, and you say yes. You know, it's coming back to you with a statement. And otherwise, you are pushing paint around. I know the difference.
Yeah, I keep the phrase that keeps coming to my mind is necessity is the mother of invention. And once you've made the commitment to do the show, I'm remembering when I made the commitment to do my Ashtanga Kosh installation at Gallery 51. And Bill very politely said that he was confident that I would be able to deliver, which is a nice way of saying that he's aware that there's a possibility that I might not deliver. And we didn't know each other all that well at the time, so it wasn't a foregone conclusion.
I remember that time
Yeah.
You know, that was when I first met you.
Yeah. And I was, what happened in that one was, you know, I was thinking, okay, well, I've got to get the sound thing done, and I know I can mount the speakers, and I was having trouble getting the sphere that went in the center of the room, because that was it happens to be here at the, in the room we're recording in right now. But there was a sense of sort of getting it done, and it had ceased to be a work of art. It had now become a project, because I knew what was going into it, and I knew how I was going to construct most of it. But there was one element that was kind of like what you were just talking about. I needed some way of directing a sound recording to a specific one of the eight speakers and sequentially moving it from one speaker to another. And my original thought was, well, I'll build some little solid state switching thing and run the signal into that, and it'll be, you know, I can hide it in the pedestal or something. And then this thought came to me that that's not the point. The point is, this is in a gallery. This is a visual statement with sound, or a sound statement with, you know, physical reality attached to it. And it's wrong for the sound distribution to be done secretly. It needs to be done overtly. And if I need a mechanism to do that, then it should be a visual mechanism, not an electronic one. It should be mechanical. It should be out where you can see it. It should be part of the experience of the installation. So then I had to invent a way of mechanically switching the sound from one speaker to another without making big clicks and without, you know, a lot of impossible engineering and stuff. And so I ended up putting myself into a situation, just because I'd made the commitment of having to, in order to be true to my own vision of what I was supposed to be doing, I had to invent something completely unknown to me. And it started as a very vague idea and turned into a, you know, 2-foot square mechanism that's bolted to the wall with cables coming out of it, and was, in my mind, you know, almost as good as the whole sound installation in the next room.
We placed in an empty room this piece on the other side of the wall from the sound piece.
Yeah.
So it managed the sound in the next room, which was one piece, but mm-hmm. the piece that managed the sound was a visual aesthetic experience in itself.
Yeah. But, you know, it came out of that thing of being true to yourself and trying to get real about it, because my motive in doing the show was not just to have constructed this, you know, set of physical requirements. It was really to say something intangible that went even beyond the message of the sound piece. So I ended up building a thing that just, you know, 2/3 of the way through the process of preparing for the installation, I had a blank in my mind way in the back that was the sound distributor mechanism. And I had no idea what it was going to look like and no idea how it was going to work. And I found myself having to pull something really totally out of the vacuum and put it into the physical world on a very short time frame, and without using, you know, engineering that I couldn't accomplish in my studio really quickly. So that's, I think that's part of what makes it great to have a show.
Yeah, art shows are sort of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
They sort of drive the whole thing. An artist could just stay in his studio for the rest of his life and really not even think of audience, only think of driving his spiritual experience into a physical form. But the art show sort of sets up a dynamic between the audience and himself, a place where it can play off of others, because it could just eventually someday, when he's passed away, just move into the this larger sphere and have its influence.
Well, it says a lot.
But the art show as a like a yearly phenomenon for the artist sort of drives his interaction with audience in his lifetime and sets this dynamic up.
Yeah, there's such a difference between an artist being involved in a show and a show that's simply curated works by some artist. And I don't know that shows often make that distinction, but it seems to me it's a pretty important one. Because on the one hand, you might be just providing sort of a historical museum-like presentation of the works of a person. And on the other hand, the person is involved in the works that are in that show, and the person is thinking of which works will be in the show, and the person is part of the curation of the show. So the curator of the gallery and the artist are really working together, or at least sequentially.
And of course, the one is where when you have just the curator, then it really becomes more of an art form of the curator.
Right.
And then there's the collaboration, which is what I'm usually doing.
Right.
And then there's also what I've projected as a desirable thing in the future, which is where an artist kind of curates his own show. Because it can get very personal by providing the space and allowing the artist to get even more personal.
I love that particular approach.
Well, then it becomes, and I've thought about this in conjunction with this show I'm doing right now, it becomes more of an installation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And less of a collection of paintings.
Right.
And the way I'm doing this is actually that it's all centered around a very specific theme. The work is highly related and integrated. It'll actually look like a room full of work that all belongs together. Even though it's not actually that they are separate paintings, but they're more than actually I've ever done before. This work is tightly grouped together. Now, what about the work that you're doing for your show, Bill? You have a show coming up,
right? So our next broadcast will be all about my show. So if you come back, we can talk about that together at that time. But it's coming up for the Art Walk also in November. We're going to have the auction downstairs and upstairs at Teeple Hansen Gallery. I'll be showing some of my new work. Now tell us again when your show is opening in Santa Fe.
It opens in Santa Fe January 15th, 2010. And I'll get email invitations out to lots of people.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.